Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Flood is about to take place. Remember from a few weeks ago, God looked down at man and everything that was going on the earth, and he said, "My spirit will not always strive with man, yet his days will be 120 years. God said, "Man's got 120 years left on this earth before I bring judgment." And it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and that Noah was righteous. And we said a few weeks ago, Noah didn't find grace because he was righteous. Noah was righteous because he found grace. God moved upon Noah. And so the grace of God produced righteousness in Noah. And Noah did everything that God told him to do. He built the ark. He brought in the animals. He brought in the food. No doubt he warned those around him all those years. And then it says that God told Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." This excites me. Because Noah's generation was, believe it or not, wicked beyond anything we understand. And yet, God was the anchor and the refuge for His people in the midst of that generation. And He said, "Come into the ark." See, the ark is a picture. The ark is a picture of God Himself for His people. Tells us that in other places in the New Testament. "Come into the ark, because I've seen you are righteous before me in this generation." So no matter how dark it gets, church, if we will stand and walk according to this book, God will be our ark too. He will. Verse 2, "You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth." Now, we're familiar with animals coming in two by two, you know, to the ark. Everybody knows about that, right, pretty much. But God tells Noah to take sevens of certain ones of the animals. And from best I can tell as I'm read it and read a couple different translations and look a little bit at the Hebrew, which I'm no expert on, but anyway, the best I can tell, sevens means seven pairs. Okay, so seven pairs of all the clean animals and apparently of all the birds. And two, you know, one pair of everything else. Well, why seven? Well, for one thing, God likes seven. It is God's number. It is God's number of perfection. And there's something about the number seven. God's into numbers. He really is. God invented them. They are God's idea. The Romans and the Arabs did not come up with them. They were God's idea. And God is into numbers. And seven is God's number of perfection. By the way, that's interesting. John and I were talking about this earlier this morning. The flag that is used to represent sodomy these days is supposed to be a rainbow, right? Thing about that is, does anyone know how many colors an actual rainbow has in it? Trivia question. Seven. You know how many colors are on that flag? Six. Seven is God's number of perfection, and always in Scripture, six is the number of a man. That's man's idea. If it's six in Scripture, practically always, it's man's idea. Seven is God's perfection. Footnote. Take that for what it's worth, but I think it's worth something. By the way, jumping ahead a couple weeks, we own the rainbow. Rainbow is God's covenant promise. It has nothing to do with wickedness. It has everything to do with God's love for us. We own the rainbow. And we need to remind everybody of that. So, seven of the clean animals, seven pairs, why? Well, okay, seven pairs of clean animals, seven pairs of birds. Well, if you look in the Old Testament, most of the clean animals are what we would now term prey animals. All right, you don't have too many clean animals that are predatory. There are some, but most of them are prey animals. And if you know anything about nature, you know that there need to be more prey animals than there are predator animals. Right? Right? Bird's got to fly, fish got to swim, bird's got to eat, right? Nobody got my Nemo reference? All right. Anyway, so there need to be more animals that get eaten than animals that eat. That's a practical side of it. The other side of it is some of those clean animals were going to be used for sacrifices at the end of the flood. So for at least those two reasons, God tells Noah to bring more of the clean animals onto the ark than of the unclean. And then he says in verse 4, "For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." What's sobering? At first God said 120 years, and now we're to the point where he tells Noah, 7 days, Noah. That's all that's left. You know, God does have a clock. And at some point, it does strike midnight. It happened once. It will happen again. Jesus will return. And he will return not as the Lamb of God, but as the Lion of Judah, with a sword coming out of his mouth to execute vengeance on everyone who does not acknowledge him as Lord. And I say, God, have mercy on those who do not, but in the same breath, come, Lord Jesus. The mercy of God is amazing, and the grace of God is amazing. But it reaches a time and a point where that's it for those who don't trust Him. For those who do trust Him, His mercy and His grace are everlasting. No end. Everything. "I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things." The idea there is actually like all substance that I have made. Verse 5, "And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him." I love that. That's at least twice that it tells us that about Noah. Everything that God commanded him, Noah did. Noah took God at His word, no matter how weird it looked to the world around him. Now, when you're building a boat, probably not around a body of water, a really big one, and it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, here's the thing. It's quite possible. Now, we don't know. You know, some will argue about this, but I think it makes pretty good sense based on how God created the earth in the first place. It had never rained. If you remember back at the beginning of Genesis, God had a watering system that watered the earth. So it's quite possible. Maybe not. Maybe it had rain. Maybe there have been showers and stuff. But it's quite possible no one had ever seen rain before. But now it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. But Noah just simply takes God at His word. Verse 6, "Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth." For 100 years at least, Noah had to walk by faith, not seeing any of the evidence of what God was telling him until when the ark was completed, animals start showing up from seemingly nowhere. Because there's certain animals that you can go get, right? I mean, you know, you can go corral the horse, you can go corral the cow, you can go get the turtle, Okay? There are other animals you are not going to go get. Anybody ever tried to herd a cat? Yeah. Doesn't work, right? How's Gus like being herded, Connie? He don't. It don't work, okay? Imagine trying to herd a tiger. Yeah. That's not going to happen. Some of these animals God brings to Noah, and he starts seeing some evidence that this is really going down, because these critters that usually would rip my head off are coming into this boat, seemingly of their own free will. Bet the angels were busy on that assignment. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. You know, I get out of that. God cares about what He has made. He cares about us. He cares about His creation. Because He could have just hit the big red button and just completely started over. But He didn't. He cares about us. He loves us. And it came to pass that after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Boy, that sounds awful specific, almost like a journal entry. Captain's log, day one. On that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. What does that mean? You know, because we can read that and say, oh, that's very poetical. It means it rained a lot. No, there's more going on there than that. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. That means you had water not just coming down, you had water coming up. All right, see, at the beginning it says that God made the dry land and you had a big supercontinent, what we would call now a supercontinent, and surrounded by a very large ocean. The fountains of the great deep means something changed there. The waters of the ocean, or waters that were under the earth, God caused to rise, and there were waters above the earth that came down. Remember in day two, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters to separate the waters from the waters. Okay, what's He talking about? Because waters above the earth, what is that? We don't see that now. The reason we don't see it now is it's no longer there. I think when God first created the world, there's pretty good evidence that He had a canopy of water up in the upper atmosphere. Would have been clear, you could have seen through it just like we do now, but it would have shielded the earth from a lot of the stuff coming in from space. It would also have acted like a window when the sun shines through it in your car, making things warmer. Meaning, you would have a lot more vegetation. Things would grow. Also, because you don't have things coming in from space and because you don't have climate extremes of hot and cold, think Hawaii all the time. Creatures like, say, I don't know, big lizards could live for a very long time and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because reptiles do that. The longer they live, the bigger they get. Because they would not have, cold-blooded creatures would have been better with this scenario because it didn't switch back and forth all the time. People would also have benefited from this and lived longer. And they did. In the 600th year of Noah's life, the flood came. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Some of these people lived a very long time, up to 969 years. Like, there was a protective canopy of water above the earth. And then the windows of heaven were opened, and that canopy came down as rain. And the fountains of the great deep means that something took place that would have significantly altered the entire structure of the planet. And in fact, if you look at a map of the earth today that is a topographical map, and you look at the seabed, the ocean floor, all the way around the planet, literally all the way around, you have a seam like on a baseball where it looks like it split open all the way around, because it did. It split open, and water, probably hot water, because we know the core of the earth is hot, and the closer you get to it, the warmer it is, probably hot water spewed out at a tremendous rate and completely scarred the earth's floor, sea floor, and shot up high into the sky and then came down as rain. What would that have triggered? Earthquakes, tsunamis, lots of things would have been going on. Possibly the continents would have split apart right then. Or maybe it took place later on. But this is a significant event that totally altered what Earth looks like. Fountains of the great deep broken up. Windows of heaven opened. And you would have had layers of mud and silt from different areas of the earth that would have been compressed very quickly with lots of things trapped in them. And when you compress a living thing quickly in dirt using water, you know what you get? Fossils. If you had a massive worldwide flood, you would expect to find, as Ken Ham says, billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And what do you find? We find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Duh. It's not complicated. All those layers that are supposed to be millions and billions of years old, they were laid down in about a year. Because you can either do it one of two ways. You can do a little bit of water over a long period of time, or you can do a whole lot of water all at once. Result ends up being the same. It was a whole lot of water all at once. The fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. You know, it's been raining a little bit. I don't know if anybody noticed. But it's been raining for a little bit. But you know, we've gotten breaks. Matter of fact, I don't think it's raining currently, like it's supposed to later in the day. We've gotten breaks on and off. And think about how much water we've gotten. Think about some of their neighboring sister states like Tennessee that have got some serious flooding with just a few days of rain. Imagine 40 days and 40 nights of continuous downpour. Yeah, I could have wiped everything out, and it did. And on the very same day, on that day, when the fountains of the... Can you imagine? Imagine being Noah. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. I love how God is very specific again. Because He knew someone, at some point in history, would think it was a good idea to have a bunch of wives. And so He specifically mentions here Noah and Noah's wife, Noah's three sons, and their three wives, one apiece. Because that's how God originally set it up at creation. When you say, well, what about all the guys in the Old Testament that had multiple wives? How'd that work out for them? Go read some of those stories. Mm-mm. No. And Jesus said, no, from the beginning it was not so. It's like, yeah, I worked through it, but that was not the idea. Because that's not the picture. It's the picture of Jesus in the church. It's one man, one woman, and marriage for life. That's how it is. So, eight people, Noah and his wife, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Didn't miss anything. Only God can do that. We would have missed something. You know, whatever that subspecies of beetle is, you know, we would have missed it somewhere. But, again, it was kinds. So there was a whole lot of information packed into a few critters on board this boat. And God knew that. And He planned it that way. He had it designed that way. Kinds. Verse 16, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. When all the animals were on board, and Noah and his family were on board, God Himself closed the door of the ark and sealed it. Nobody else could get on. Rain started, doors shut. What do you suppose happened next? All of a sudden, all those people that used to enjoy talking about old crazy Noah, they probably made a rush for that boat. But the door was closed. You know, in the New Testament, we're told that Jesus is the door. He is the door. And if we trust in Him, if we believe in His Word, He is the way, He is the ark, and He is the door. And He will keep His people safe through every storm. You know, Noah didn't get to skip out on the storm. He rode it out, but he was safe. Oh, he had to do work. You don't just sit on the boat for a year. No fishing. Sorry, Tina. Because you can't get out. You don't want to fall overboard. Oh, he was busy. He and his sons, they were busy. And their wives, a lot of animals to take care of. There was a lot to do. They had to do their part. They'd been given instructions by God, but they were safe all the way through this massive worldwide storm that lasted for an entire year. They were kept safe. So, will we face difficulties as the people of God? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jesus never said, come to me and life will be rosy and everyone will love you and it'll be great. No, Jesus said, when everyone speaks well of you, bad. That's bad. All right. No, he said that narrow is the way that leads to life and few there be that find it. But He will be with us all the way through it because He is the ark and He is the door. Pat, why don't you go ahead and come up? The question is, have you entered through the door? You're sitting there this morning and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus. Well, guess what? The raindrops are starting to hit your head. The door is still open. The door is still open. Jesus is still bringing people to Himself. He is still transferring people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Still happening. There will come a day when that's over with. There will come a day when that's over with. Read about it all through the New Testament and the Old, for that matter. But we're not there yet. At least we're not there this minute. So have you entered into the ark through the door? Because, by the way, there's no other way on board. There is no other way. You can't climb over the side. You can't drill a hole in the bottom. You can't come down through the sunroof. You have got to enter through the door. And if you, this morning, have not surrendered to Jesus as Lord and as Savior, you can today. He loves you. So how do you know that? Well, for one thing, you're here. And for another thing, He shed His own blood for you. He died for you so that you could enter in. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep, and that's exactly what Jesus did. So this morning, if you don't know Him, He's the only way, but let me tell you this, He is the way. One way. Jesus. So won't you come to Him this morning? Say, Joel, you don't know what I've done. Frankly, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because the blood of Jesus is the perfect sacrifice that paid for every sin of every human being that has ever lived or ever will live. He forgave your sins. Will you believe that? Will you surrender to Him as the one Savior, as the one Lord? If you will, you're going to find life you have never known. I promise you. Ain't it good, Jeremy? He's amazing. He's so good. So why don't you come to Him this morning? He'll clean you up. You don't clean yourself up. None of us clean ourselves up. So don't try. Don't worry about that. He cleans us up by His own blood and by His own Spirit. All we have to do is trust Him. Stop trying and start trusting. So church, let's commit to be covenant keepers. You know, we talked last week about covenant, that God made a covenant with Noah, and that everything that God told Noah to do, he did. Let's commit this morning to be covenant keepers by the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk according to His Word, to be righteous in this generation. Because what might God do with a church full of people that by the power of the Spirit were righteous in their generation? I think we'd see a city turned upside down. We might see a nation turned upside down. I think it can happen. Let's follow Him. He's good. Father, thank You for giving us a door. Thank You for giving us an ark. Yourself. You yourself. Oh, Lord, we don't know how many days it is until the return of Jesus. It could be today. It could be 1,000 years from now. But, Lord, whichever it is, there's only darkness apart from You. We want light. We want Your light in us. We want You to be Your light through us. So, Father, I pray that You would help us as You helped Noah, that by Your grace, we would be righteous. We would walk with You because by Your Spirit You've given us the power to do so. There is victory in Jesus, the living door. So I thank You for what You're doing. Lord, I pray for everyone who's here and lost, standing outside. Lord, I pray You'd help them just run with open arms and surrender into You this morning. And we will give You all of the praise and all of the glory for it. because you are the door. Thank you. In Jesus' name.